Tomorrow is Halloween, a day filled with fantasy, a celebration of all that is frightful and scary. In many ways, it's a celebration of the macabre. Some have even labeled it as a demonic holiday, a secular affair which needs to be shunned. But contrary to those who lobby against it, it has become one of the biggest holidays of the year. We are now decorating our homes inside and out with lights, decorations of all kinds. Stringing lights on trees, etc., celebrating the holiday. And of course, you got to have the pumpkin. Our decorating efforts are only outdone by Christmas. There are even seasonal stores whose only business is Halloween. And it's become a secular holiday with religious and specifically Christian roots. Halloween is short for All Hallow Eve, or the Eve of All Saints Day, or All Hallowmas. All Saints Day, which we will celebrate next Sunday, is the day the church celebrates the lives of all those who have been consecrated as Christians and all the holy ones who have gone before. Now, to the liturgical church, All Saints Day is one of the more important days in the church calendar. To the historic Catholic Church, the first day of November was and is always set aside to have special masses in which all members would be and are expected to attend, no matter the day of the week in which it occurred. A special day to observe. Now, this is how Halloween began. All Saints Eve was considered to be the time that all the holy ones would be resurrected from death in their graves. So it follows that we celebrate it with the skeletons and etc. But to us Lutherans, the day of Halloween has another meaning. It was on All Hallow Eve, October the 31st, 1517, that a German monk by the name of Martin Luther began an unintended revolution, not only in the church and Christianity, but within the whole political makeup of the Western world. On this day, just 1 year shy of 500 years ago, the soul-searching monk Martin Luther posted his famous 95 theses on the door of the castle church in Wittenberg. The timing was so that all who came to celebrate the Mass of All Saints Day would see his document. Posting such notices was not so unusual, for they were a challenge to have a scholastic or theological debate. All Saints Day would give the greatest exposure for such a pursuit. So therefore, that was the time that he nailed those theses on the door. But Martin Luther never foresaw what would actually happen. Luther's thesis addressed a critical part of the Roman Church's financial existence, as well as the finances of the politically theocratic princedoms of the time. The 95 Theses put to question the lucrative practice of selling indulgences. Of course, the indulgence was the practice of paying for forgiveness. After the practice of the sacrament of penance, that is the admission of sin, indulgences could be bought, which not only extended you forgiveness, but protected you from future sins. They were an insurance policy, so to speak. The practice even extended into buying your way into heaven, or buying a dead loved one a ticket out of purgatory. Indulgences not only made the Pope and the church hierarchy filthy rich, but supported the theocratic princedoms that governed everyday life. Now, by posting this notice on All Hallows Eve, the revolution which would change the course of the world began. This revolution, which became known as the Reformation, was not the original intent of Luther, but evolved as he developed his scriptural-centered theology. His original attempt was to reform the existing, not to separate. The people in the time, though, were ready to rebel. Rebel against a corrupt Holy Roman Empire. It was the right time and the right place for this to happen. The theology which Luther gleaned from the scriptures vividly spoke to the people and spoke to their circumstances. It was a theology which gave freedom. Freedom from the dictates of the then corrupt Church of Rome and the theocratic remnants of the Holy Roman Empire. The foundation of this new theology was that mankind, who are sinners, did not need the clergy to be forgiven. They did not need bribery to be forgiven. Bribery was not the way to forgiveness. Indulgences were not the way to forgiveness. This was very evident to Luther when he read Paul's words, "For no human being will be justified in his sight by the deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." The law, in other words, does not give forgiveness, but only gives a guideline as to what sin is. The foundation of this new theology of Luther was that God extends forgiveness to mankind through Jesus Christ, and it was free. It is a free gift and comes out of God's overwhelming grace upon the reality of faith in Jesus. Luther again goes to Paul, For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. A free gift to the church of the day, who had deemed itself to have complete authority over the judgment of sin and thus forgiveness. This threatened the authority and control which the church had over the people. This new theology not only threatened Rome's ecclesiastical authority, but also their political authority. In the final analysis, Rome had no grounds to stand upon, for their authority rested on nothing more than tradition and not within the scriptures. Luther stood on firm ground, the ground of the scriptures, as this new scriptural-based theology evolved. It would bring to question Rome's many edicts and doctrines. Scriptural authority would replace ecclesiastical authority. God's grace replaced the dogma of corrupt money practices, such as indulgences. Indulgences were not worth any more than the paper they were printed upon. They were worthless. This naturally would lead to an even more threatening doctrine of the new theology. The doctrine of the priesthood of all believers replaced the centrality of clergy authority. Sacraments were defined as to their scriptural basis. Clergy were allowed to marry. Monastic orders were seen as practices in self-indulgence. But most important to the whole new theology in the Reformation was that the scriptures were now made available to the common people. Luther translated the scriptures into the language of the day, and the newly invented printing press made them widely available. Everything was coming together. Basically, the Reformation set Jesus' message free. Free to be understood through the Holy Spirit working through all of mankind, not just a privileged few, not just the clergy, the ecclesiastical realm. Therefore, truth was not in Rome's hand and interpretation, but in the hands of the Scripture. This would give ultimate freedom to discover truth to all. As Jesus said, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." With the new challenge presented by the Reformation came new revelations of God's grace through faith. Each challenge brought new hope to a subjected people. Each challenge gave new life as to what it meant to be a child of God. Each challenge also began the groundwork to what we know today as the freedom of democracy. The 95 Theses was the beginning of a movement. The movement of setting the world free from the dark ages of the past. Not only changed the world, the course of the Christianity, But the Reformation would change the course of history itself. Such a dramatic event in history not only was the result of the times, the surrounding of the political unrest, and the evolution of the printing press for mass communication, but also the result of the courage and the conviction of one man. And that courage and conviction became contagious. Martin Luther had the courage and the conviction to open the door to a new life so others could follow in his footsteps. One man's conviction made a difference. Think about that. This coming year will lead to the 2017 celebration of the 500th anniversary of that historic event in Wittenberg. This anniversary year should bring with it a renewal within the church, a renewal also within each of us, to find that freedom of the message within the Scriptures. It is time to stand firm upon our faith in the gospel message of love and forgiveness, so that the tumultuous world in which we live may have a beacon of hope. It is a time when we do not forget that life is always changing. And the direction of this change, though, is up to us. Will it be in light of the Reformation, which was based upon a deep conviction of the gospel message? Or will we just sit back and deny our times? We deny love and respect and dignity and justice, which all God's children need and deserve. It is also the time, though, when within our own fellowship, that we need to rethink and set our goals for the coming year. With that in mind, the council has set forth goals for this coming year, which will be posted on our door again. You know, it's up to us to bring the Reformation into reality as we live our goals and the gospel of love for the coming year. And at this time, I would ask that the goals be handed out to the congregation. Be it hereby proclaimed, the 2017 goals set forth for Epiphany Lutheran Church: to effectively communicate our beliefs, principles, and programs through social media and other means; to explore ways to be more meaningful to young people and young families; to continue the utilization of other worship formats and experiences; to continue to enhance the fellowship among members and visitors; to develop a plan to increase our mission of growth; to pursue avenues of Bible study; to continue developing and enhancing our Sunday school program; to develop a plan to reach out to the community; to enhance the musical program; and finally, to actively promote and celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. May God grant us the wisdom the guidance, and the strength to fulfill these goals in the coming year. And with that, I would ask Richmond to post the goals on the door.